How many brought your Bible with you this morning? How many of you heard the title of my sermon? You're probably wondering, Pastor, we went off the deep end. Adding spaghetti and meatballs to the Lord's Supper. Now, before you think I've gone crazy, just listen to what I got to say. I want to read from Acts chapter 2, we'll start in verse 40, thereabouts, Acts chapter 2. And today is Communion Sunday. Well, let's start in verse 40. It says, and when many other words, let's pray. Father God, we praise you. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord. We thank you for the anointing that's here today. We give you honor. We give you glory, Father. We thank you that lives will be set free. Lives will be touched. The Holy Spirit will move in people's lives. And Father, we praise you for it and thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. All right, verse 40. And with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And naturally, this is after the infilling of the Holy Ghost. He talks about Joel and so forth. And now he's talking about how the church is growing. He says, then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continue. Now, verse 42, they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Four things were there. They had teaching. Everybody say teaching. They were. They had fellowship. Fellowship's communion. You know, the word koinonia means communion. They're breaking of bread. Again, the Lord's Supper. And then in prayers. And it says in respect. Some of your Bibles will say fear, but respect came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. It's interesting. It's when there's a respect for God that we start seeing signs and wonders and things start moving. People are just not coming in for a show, but they're coming in because they respect the word of God and the things of God. And then those who believed were together and had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among the people as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one another in the temple and breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. So, you know, I've heard this before, you know, and again, the title was, I did it specifically to get people's attention, adding spaghetti and meatballs to the Lord's table. And you're saying, man, what's he talking about? Well, I've heard it said that if we could, you know, it's been said in the past, if we add instruments to our singing, then we could add spaghetti and meatballs to the Lord's Supper. And people look at that, and I've done some reading, I've studied it, and it seems that the early church did, in fact, add spaghetti and meatballs to the Lord's Supper. Well, maybe it was lamb or something. Unless they were from Cornelius of the Italian band, then I would say it was spaghetti and meatballs. But you get my point, all right? As that thing is dangerous there. Anyway. But lamb was more likely because of the fact that they were having dinner. Communion was at the end of their dinner. They would have the Lord's Supper. In fact, they added an entire meal at the end, whatever it was. You know, like I just think antipasto, spaghetti, meatballs, and Italian pastry would be great. But they were called love feast or agape feasts, okay? And it's so weird the way the world perverts the gospel. And you know, the first thing when you hear love feast, you think of the 60s in Haight-Ashbury, you know? But it was something that was done back in the biblical times, and for good reason, too, because the people would come together and have everything in common. They would share with one another. They were covenant partners with one another, all right? And they had a great example to follow. Jesus Christ himself had the Passover meal. That's where he instituted the Last Supper, the covenant meal, the wine and the bread. And it's so interesting because when they had the Passover, they actually had four glasses of wine. And they all stood for something. They all stood for a specific promise to the children of Israel that had to do with redemption, deliverance, covenant, and completion. All they did, being delivered from the plagues, the whole thing. So it wasn't just something that was haphazardly done. We kind of like think of communion. We do it once a month. We do it at the end of the service. But in any event, communion, the Passover was a full meal. It wasn't just, you know, it was a full meal. It was a joyous meal too. Although they were celebrating their deliverance from Egypt, it was still a joyous meal. Verse 12 talks about the love feast celebrated by the early Christians. We know from history that a lot of the early churches had weekly or even daily communion meals, common meals together, called love feasts or agape feasts. That's what they were called. It was a common thing for them to do. And many took the Lord's Supper as part of that common meal. The meal served a couple of purposes. Number one, it allowed Christians to share with those who had a need. Okay? It allowed a deep sense of community. What we find in a lot of churches today, it's like they have the Olive Garden mentality, the Applebee mentality, the Chili's mentality. In other words, we're going to go in there. Doesn't matter where I go to church. Don't matter what Chili's I go to. I can go to Chili's in Toms River. I can go to Chili's in Aventura, Florida. I'm going to have the same meal, and I'm going to get in and out in 45 minutes. And unfortunately, that's what's happened to Christianity. It's what happened to churches. And it started back in the second century when they started to organize. There were so many people that they couldn't have. They actually outlawed these love feasts or agape feasts. And there was a reason for that, and we'll look at it. We'll look at that in a couple minutes. But it served a lot of purposes. It allowed Christians, again, to share with those that had a need. It formed a sense of community. And it made the Lord's Supper, truly a supper. They would sit down. But as always, things get out of hand. And really, that's what happened to it. And if you study any type of church history, you'll see why by the time we get to the third century, the only one that was allowed to give out communion was the priest. And there's reasons why. I was looking all of it. But if you were to ask any ordinary Christian today, any person on the street, what it was like in the days of the apostles, you'd have like several different answers. Number one, if it was an evangelical church, it would just simply be, it consisted primarily of preaching and singing. If you get to a charismatic or Pentecostal church, they're going to tell you, well, it was praise, worship, the gifts of the Spirit were in operation, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. That's what you would get. Now, if you went to a Catholic church or an Anglican-type church, they might say it was particularly the celebration of the Eucharist. And all those answers are okay, because basically, that's what it is today. But that's what it wasn't that back then. It was different back then. So they had a meal. Okay, they would sit down, they'd have a meal, they'd have fellowship, and they refer to it as agape, love feasts. They'd get together. You know, we have a covenant with God. When we first got saved, we cut our teeth on the covenant, on the blood covenant. We have a covenant with God. What's mine is God's, what's God is mine. You are part of that covenant. So when you hurt, I hurt. When I hurt, you hurt. When I have a need, you have a need. When the church has a need, you have a need. When you have a need, the church has a need. That's the way it was supposed to work. That's why there was this strong bond in the early church that has almost all disappeared. And it's a shame that it is that way. But even after the death of the apostles, they continued to practice it, but by the time, within a century after Constantine became a Christian, that part of the apostolic worship had totally disappeared from the church. and it became very organized. The communion became a sacrament. All these things became sacraments that you had to do based under strict rules and regulations that you had to follow. That's why traditions kill, because it was based on all these different things. But again, Jesus, and when we look at this, I want you to turn over to Matthew chapter 26. And then we're going to go to Luke chapter 22. And it's like I said, there were four cups. Matthew 26. This is like a history lesson today. You say, well, why are you teaching this? Well, we're going to have communion, but then we're going to have fellowship after church. Amen. And this fellowship means to sit, hang out, fellowship. Not just jump the counter and grab the food, eat, and run. That's not communion. That's not fellowshipping. We have a term for it in Italian, but I'm not going to say it. Amen. All right. Verse 26 of Matthew chapter 26 says, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. This is my body. And we know the rest. But I want you to go over and look at Luke chapter 22 for a minute, because Jesus did it a little bit different. Luke 22, remember there's four cups, and each one of them were specifically for something, okay? A different aspect of the covenant and the covenant promises. But in Luke chapter 22, let's see. Just hang in there. Let's start in verse 17. Let's read verse 17. He said, then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take, eat, this is my, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Then he goes on to say, and he took the bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them. This, and said, this is my body, which is broke, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, also, he took the cup after supper, saying. So now Jesus has two cups going on here. Okay? And so what we have, Jesus, the reason I'm bringing this out is not that it was something magical about the second cup. They had a meal. You know, they had a meal. They had the Passover meal. They drank all four of those cups of wine, and it was wine. I don't care what they try to tell you and try to explain away the fruit of the vine. They had wine, okay? People get all cuckoo over it, and I'm not here to argue that or anything like that. I'm just telling you, they had the fruit of the vine, okay? You know, and the fruit of that particular vine was the grape. And, you know, if you have the fruit of the vine of the tomato plant, it's a tomato juice. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. But so it was the fruit of the vine. Actually, that even has another meaning that I don't want to get into today. But Jesus says, I am the vine. And you have to abide in me. So Jesus was really telling them, I'm leaving right now. But you still have to abide in my word. Because I am the word. That's what Jesus' underlying thought to the disciples were that day. I'm the true vine. So partake of the vine. Partake of the word of God. All right. But so he said that. In the second cup, in Luke chapter 22, in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, again, that second cup is the one that we emulate when we receive communion. Okay? And the only reason I bring it out, because there's not anything special, all of those cups had something to do with the covenant. But it was the fact that when you read Matthew, Mark, they don't bring out the second cup. they just said Jesus had dinner and he had bread and wine and that was it. No, he had the Passover meal. They sat down. They were fellowshipping. They were having communion. And in the midst of that meal, at the end, Jesus incorporates the new and better covenant. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, so that's what we have. Jesus could have done that in any order he wanted. He was Jesus. All right? But Luke, just I believe Luke wanted us to read about the meal. It said over in verse 46 of Acts, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness. The breaking of bread expression includes the celebration of communion. But they said they ate their food with gladness. So that has to indicate that they had a meal. All right? And if so, it was also a meal. And nowhere is it more confirmed than in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 20 to 34. Unfortunately, here's what happens to people. Now, some of you might get mad at me right now, but big guy, I can take it. Won't be the first time. Anyway, let's look at verse 11, chapter 11, verse 20. Therefore, when you come together in one place, is it not to eat the Lord's Supper? For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others, and one is hungry and the other is drunk. What, don't you have houses to eat and drink in? Or you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. And then he goes, for I... Now, let's read this together, because this is, to me, mind-blowing. For I received from the Lord. He received it from Jesus. He didn't receive it from the other apostles. Don't forget, he was on the he was up in the desert for 14 years. Jesus appeared to him. Jesus gave him specific instructions. And he said, so I received from the Lord Jesus that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper. Because it's the new cup of the new covenant. Now, like anything else, he begins the message. And actually, this verse, you have to think it's talking about more than just communion. Nobody gets drunk from a little cup of this. And this didn't really start coming about until like the 1700s. Up till then, it was wine. Okay? So it's talking about getting drunk, drinking something else there, okay? It's not the communion cup that was getting them drunk. But he's describing a meal, the love feast, the agape feast. The problem was people were coming in with no regard for other people. And isn't that usually the way it is? People have no regard for other people. Other people are eating, they're drinking, yes, they're getting drunk, and Paul has to rebuke them. And he's saying that's wrong. What has happened, they took the simplicity away of remembering what Jesus Christ did for us on the cross. The most profound thing that ever happened to mankind, Jesus hanging on the cross for us, shedding his blood, but they were turning it into a wild party. So it was celebrated at the end. We see it. And he mentions Jesus taking the bread and saying, take, eat, this is my body. And I just love, when I saw that verse 25, it's the exact same thing Luke says. After supper, he took the cup. After supper, he took the cup. And then we have the book of Jude that talks about the love feast. Actually, Jude kind of is, they're getting rebuked there too, because they were just letting anybody come in to their agape feasts that they were having. He calls them spots. He calls them everything. And if you read Jude 12, that hey, they crept in and snuck in because it was a free meal. Let's read it. You look at me like I fell out of a tree. I didn't. Not this morning. Maybe yesterday morning I might have fell out of a tree, but not this morning. Oh, praise God. There you go. Verse 12. And he goes, apostates, deprived, and doomed. These are spots in your love feast. He's talking about, above there, he's talking about the archangel. He's talking about people who are just trying to come in and get something for nothing. They are spots in that special communion supper meal that they were having. He says they're spots while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. And that's what happens. People come in that, you know, well-meaning or whatever, but they're just out to get. They come into churches. They try to take people. Someone asked me a question today. Am I ever going to do this again? I said, absolutely not. I said, why? I said, well, first of all, they're not clean. And second of all, they always ask people for money. So therefore, they're not coming back. It's plain and simple. It doesn't get any. I love them. Jesus loves them. They can have all the Jesus they want. They can't have my $10. Unless God tells me to give them it. Give them the $10. You understand what I'm saying? So we have to be careful. And today I just really want you to see that this was something that took place in the early church, but by the second century, that it was all gone. It was all gone and it was reduced to rules and regulations. And it's such a special time that we go. They were just letting people come in and make a fool of the agape feast. And really, this is why we celebrate it the way we do today. We have it at the end of our service. But Paul says, as often as you take this, you could have it every day, you could have it twice a day, as often as you. We choose once a month. There's no law, rule, regulation. One of the greatest things that I loved about going to Haiti and doing church services, they never ended. They were like, after service, everybody hung around. I mean, I don't know how it was in Port-au-Prince with you guys, but out up in the mountains, they hung out and they had a big feast and everything, and it was fellowship. Unfortunately, I didn't know what they were saying, you know, but what are you going to do? But you'd be there all day. Church service would go from 10 o'clock to 1. God, if it whenever went from 10 o'clock to 1 here, people jumped out the window. And you said that they'd be going, they'd be having church, they'd be saying, everybody sang. They took 1 Corinthians to task. If someone has a song, 50 people have a song. They'd all get up and sing. And then the word, they'd preach. They'd lay hands on people. I did a service in a church in Port-au-Prince. And I've told this story before. I went in there, had to be 600 people. And I start teaching about Luke, the parable of the Good Samaritan, because you can go any direction you want. Holy Ghost will just point you off in different directions. So at the end of it, I said, who wants to be filled with the Holy Spirit? 600 people raised their hands. So I'm with my friend Jonas. I'm going, what, is they're trying to make the white guy feel good? You know what I mean? He goes, no, he goes, this is a Baptist church. Nobody ever came in and started talking with tongues like you did. I go, why didn't you tell me? He says, well, if I told you, you wouldn't have had this result, would you? It's the true story. But after that, they had a big dinner and stuff. Like, And Daryl's wife went home to be with the Lord. I'll never forget that as long as I live. The food back at that church was, and there had to be 500 people there, just fellowshipping. And we so missed that because we want to get out. We got to do what we got to do and everything else. But that's not what God has for us. He has more. We're family. We're community. And we're going to, in a few minutes, right, we're going to have the covenant meal. And it should be reverential and a special time of remembering what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. But now I want to bring up the fellowship Sundays. We started these fellowship Sundays, okay? I felt impressed by the Holy Spirit to do it. I just felt, so we need to have fellowship. Anyone have covered dish? We'll do the food. Right, and then we had an elders meeting and we talked about it, and my wife, and then Angela, we talked to Angela about the food, and so now here we are, Fellowship Sunday. Now we have it on, this month is the first Sunday of the month. We're going to move it to another Sunday, simply because there's so much happening the day before here with the soup kitchen and everything, and it just, Angela has to come in, cook, prepare, and do all that. So we might do it the second Sunday. We'll let you know when. But I really believe we talked it about it, the food, and this is fellowship for you and your family. And I believe it's scriptural to do it. It is scriptural, just by what I shared with you today. But verse 42, and they continued fastly in the teaching, in fellowship, the breaking of bread in prayers. We have prayer meetings. We have communion. We have teaching. We need fellowship. If there's anything missing, it's fellowship. Because so many people are worried about their own little gig. Give the gig up. And so communion is fellowshipping around the things of God. It's that word, koinonia. It means communion. It means fellowship. It means sharing in common. We're a three-part being. 1 Thessalonians says that we're a spirit, we have a soul, we live in a body. Our spirits need to be ministered to. Our intellect needs to be ministered to. Well, how do your intellect get ministered to? When you fellowship with one another. How does your body get ministered to? When you eat and play volleyball. All right? So today, after communion, we're going to have, when communion's over, you will have effectively been ministered to in your spirits. Okay? And we're going to go into the Manna Cafe, have a seat. Everybody say seat. Don't bum rush the counter. There is plenty of food. The way I see, when we did that corned beef thing, it was like these people didn't eat in a month. And then people going, hey, I need a sandwich. I wanted to say, go sit down. There, trust me, there was plenty of corned beef. We could have fed Tom's River. But it was like I sat there, I'm looking back, I'm going, what is wrong with Christians? There was a song years ago we used to sing. I will never sing it again, but we did, sang it in a church one time. And me and my friend Phil. No, we didn't. What was it? I don't forget. Well, anyway, we get up and we start playing this song, the fella Phil. Some of you remember Phil. Phil gets up and he's going, he's real nice. He's singing, what's wrong with my children? Why won't they praise me? By the time he's done with the song, he's like this, what's wrong with my, and he's like getting mad because nobody's praising God. I looked at him, I said, bro, cool. Calm down, man. Anyway, what's wrong with his children? They need to fellowship. So, you know, fellowship with someone you haven't fellowshiped before. There's new people. Get to know them. Not counsel them. Right away, people want to go into the counseling business. You don't have to, just fellow, where are you from? What are you doing? Where do you live? Maybe you want to go out to dinner one night. Get to know them. They're your brothers and sisters. We're family. We're in the family of God. And people need to realize that and understand. And don't all come running to me and Carol. You know us. Find somebody you don't know. We'll come to you. Because we're in covenant relationship with one another. Just don't eat and leave. A lot of effort. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of effort goes into this. It just doesn't. Magic. Angela's got to go shopping. Buy the food. She has to prepare it. And then we have people who help her serve it. Then we have to stay after and clean it. They had set up the gym yesterday, put up the volleyball net and all that other stuff. Nobody gets paid for this. This isn't like we're padding our pockets because we're letting you have a fellow. If anything, we probably put money out of our pocket to pull it off. Amen. So not to burden the church. And just to watch people, oh, give me that. Okay, bye, see you next week. Give it to me to go. You ain't getting it. Telling you right now. If you ask for it to go, no to go food today. I guess you all think I just sit around like an idiot and why, you know, like I don't see what's going on. I say, get rid of them to go things. This ain't a restaurant. It's church. Hey, some of you understand what I'm talking about, huh? Oh, would you give me a couple corned beef sandwiches to go? Yeah, that'd be $32. You want a pickle? It's another $5. It's a sad indictment, man. On Christianity. Do you do know that? Listen, if you had it to work and took it to go, that's one thing, but you better show me your schedule. Well, if they're working here, you know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the ones that just grab it and leave. Smash and grab. No. We want to have fellowship with you. Amen? And as money comes in, we're going to get 2 new more TVs for the cafe. Some big ones. But for now, we're going to have communion. We're going to go sit. We're going to fellowship. You're going to buy cake for the youth and children's church. You're going to take the posters and bring it to your favorite restaurant, beauty parlor, or whatever. You know, I keep saying that. Doctor's office. I don't care where you take it. Just take it and put it out. I know a couple of restaurants I'm bringing it to. Unless you want to do that one. Okay. You got 2 then. Okay. There we go. 2 gone. Praise. He's got some. Amen. Amen. If you want to, guys, gentlemen, you can hand out the communion elements. Music ministry, you can come up here. Listen, I just wanted to give you a little. It's such an interesting, you know, I could sit here all day because it's so interesting. And I know Tony probably studied that stuff out. I don't know if you ever went in about the Lord's Supper and the way it deteriorated down to what we have today. But absolutely astounding, astounding of what they did to it. But praise the Lord. God is good, right? You know, and just to say this, if anyone's glucose intolerant, if you let an usher know when you come in the morning for communion, we could help you out with that too. We have gluten-free You got it, right? I know. But there's other people too, so we just want them to know. If you have a gluten problem, we have gluten-free. You're learning. Amen. You know, as they pass these out, as they're passing these out, I love looking at Psalm 103. That's my favorite psalm when it comes to communion. It's like, you know, I just got my car insurance thing in the mail. I was looking at the declaration page telling me all the stuff I have. Psalm 103 is the declaration page of all the promises that belong to you because of Jesus. And he says it again, and I'll say this at every communion service we ever have. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. And forget not all his benefits. So we're supposed to remember his benefits. And I really believe back in the early church, that's what they were doing. They were sitting there, they were remembering in simplicity what Jesus did for them. Okay? He forgives all our iniquities, all your sin. I don't care what you've done in life, what, you know, how bad you thought you might have been. If you think God can't ever forgive you, God can forgive you because he's a forgiving God.
Yes, he is.
There's nothing you could do to ever make him not forgive you. And so we have to remember that he forgives us. He heals all your diseases. All your diseases. Healing is in the atonement. He redeems your life from the... You messed up your life. I know people. There's people here that their lives were messed up. Jesus turned them around. But some people's lives were... All of us, our lives were messed up, but some were messed up a little more than others. And I'm not trying to say that to be funny. I'm just trying to say he redeems us. He turns our lives around. He crowns us with loving kindness and tenderness and mercies. And he satisfies our mouth with good things. And he renews our youth like the eagle. And I'll tell you what, he executes righteousness and justice. People say to me all the time, well, I'm going to court. Could you pray that it goes in my favor? No, I'll pray that righteousness and justice gets executed. Brother, if you're righteous and you're just, you will be vindicated.
Yes, hallelujah.
It will happen. So with that in mind, we're going to receive the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper. I've been pastoring for 33 years, so I don't know how many communion services I've officiated over. It tells you how many times I read that verse of scripture. It never hit me that he took the cup after supper and did that. To me, that just like, boop. As many times as I read that, it wasn't until yesterday that I saw that and I said, wow. I'm thinking, after supper. He took that cup after supper. The after supper cup was the one that we're emulating right now. The bread had to do with, he told them just at the beginning of the feast, he just told them to drink that fruit of the vine and eat that bread. But he specifically, and I got to do more and more teaching on that cup, because I got to do a little more studying because there's something more there than meets the eye.
Amen. Hallelujah.
All right? This is the cup of the new covenant. The new covenant. The new covenant.
Amen.
Really, probably that could be it. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father God, we just praise you this morning. We thank you. We thank you for Jesus' body that was beaten for us, that we could walk in all the promises that you have for us. Redemption, sanctification, completeness, and deliverance. Father, we praise you for it. We thank you for it, Father God. And as Jesus said, he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Father, we take this wafer that's the symbol of your body, and we take it and we, in remembrance of you, looking at everything that you've done for us, Father. And we praise you for it and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, Amen. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Father, we thank you that we are the blood-bought church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are cleansed. We are washed in your blood. Our sins are as far from us as the east is from the west. We have no past because we're in Christ. And it's because of your blood. And Father God, we receive the blood of Jesus, this grape juice that represents it, in Jesus' name. Amen.